Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, here we go. I can't believe it's been 85 episodes. Thomas, it's been a long ride.
A
What a
good
good
cinco,
ride.
baby.
Yep.
Ooh.
We're just getting started. We're not even going to
Ocho
stop.
Cinco.
Yep. The big 8-5. Great year, too. 1985. A lot of good. That's a good pop culture year, I would say. I think Brad was probably, what, 3?
Not born?
Yeah. The great year for pro wrestling, great year for movies, great year for music. List goes on and on. So 1985, episode 85, let's get rolling. So usually Ed does the email, but Ed, he's got some issues. I don't know what they are. I don't know if it's, and we'll have to wait. We're going to put him on blast next week. Somebody put him on blast on the old YouTube, waiting for his rebuttal. So that's to look forward to next week. So Thomas, big shoes to fill. Usually when we've had Ed cover for you, now it's yin to the yang. So let's go.
2 weeks in a row. Got to get him his priorities straight here.
Fuck
all
yeah.
right. Hey there, podcast fans. Are you ready to show off your love for the 1973 podcast? We've got over 20 different designs of t-shirts and hoodies that capture the essence of classic stuff. Whether you're a fan of the shows or just love that retro feel, we've got something for everyone. From bold prints to subtle nods to your favorite personalities, each piece is made with top-notch quality and that timeless style you crave. Perfect for lounging at home or making a statement out and about. And don't wait. Our collection is flying off the shelves faster than you can say, "Don't be cheap, buy a shirt." Visit us now at bonfire.com and grab your favorites before they're gone. The 1973 Podcast T-Shirt Store on YouTube. Just click the links in our episodes.
Bang. So great job, Thomas. So email bag. Very good, Thomas. Take it away.
All right. This email is from Stanley in Lima, Ohio. Is it Lima or Limer? I think it's Lima. I don't know. But Lima, Ohio. And it says 1973 Podcast Conspiracy. Yo, 1973 Podcast. All this talk about conspiracy theories, but the biggest conspiracy theory is never talked about. That guy Brad is a WD-40 guy, Gator, on TikTok. I don't have TikTok, so Brad, this is all you. Are you, in fact, Gator?
I never even heard of this mug until they dropped it in the group chat. All right. The only resemblance, first of all, is the old gray beard. Okay. That's it. I look nothing like that guy. I have this huge, like, peanut head forehead. That guy is like a skinny head, and he wears sunglasses and sprays WD-40 on everything. He's every damn thing. No, I'm not that guy. I don't even know who that guy is. Why is that guy even famous?
How do you feel about WD-40, though, Brad?
I mean, I use it. It's very handy.
It's right up there with duct tape.
Use it that comes, yeah. You should have, everybody should have a can of WD-40 and some duct tape in their toolbox. Both of them will save the day. Number of occasions.
We got to put you on blast, though, because it's not a denial.
I'm not saying I am that guy. I don't look anything like him. I'm actually offended that a viewer thought that was me. I'm much more attractive,
but
much better looking.
But in true podcast form, we have learned. We cannot push away WD-40 as a sponsor. I would love WD-40 as a sponsor, to tell you the truth. So if throw us some WD-40 money.
Yeah, sign me up for that at least.
And if Gator wants to come on the show and explain himself, we can have a split screen, like a comparison between the two.
Yeah.
He is also from the South, Brad. I know the South is really small and everybody's related.
Possibly.
Allegedly.
Yeah.
So we're going to say a no officially.
Yeah.
For
hard no.
Okay. So any thoughts going back to the email on the person that sent it in?
No, I mean, I'm slightly offended. I don't look anything like that guy. Nothing.
You're both white.
Yeah. White and gray beard. And he's like, oh, it's Gator from the WD-40 TikTok. No.
Know what we need from the video, the picture of the video that they posted? You're going to have to put your hat backwards and put on a pair of shades just so we can tell.
I'm not doing a side by side with Gator. That's beneath me.
But once again, we are not beneath the WD-40 spot. But great email. It shows that
thanks, Stanley.
That YouTube algorithm is shitty, and more people watch than what actually it shows in those watched hours. So keep them coming. That's a great email. So let's segue into what I want to talk about this week. I was hoping that the panel was a little bigger, but we usually talk a little wrestling before we get into the sports, even though sports is, you know, sports-based presentation, but let's cut it right there. I'm going to talk Vince McMahon, the documentary, episode one. Shaggy, I want your opinion on episode one, entitled Junior. Oh. What'd you think? So pretty much the start all the way to WrestleMania one is what we're talking about.
Yeah, him taking over from the father and going from there. And I'm just excited we're talking about part of wrestling I freaking remember now. None of this new shit you guys talk about. I got a chubby watching Hillbilly, picture of Hillbilly Jim over there. Right?
Whoa. What?
Allegedly.
TMI.
No, but yeah, it was great. I mean, he was definitely ruthless. I mean, it sounds like his relationship with his father was horrendous. I mean, and you can see this. I mean, obviously, we're just talking about number one, but you see it down the road doing the same thing with Shane and stuff. Like, I didn't realize any of that stuff about his past at all. So that was interesting to see.
Bradford, did you weigh in on that episode one?
Yeah, I've watched the first two because it is very captivating. Like, it's hard to turn it off. But yeah, I didn't realize that Vince McMahon was basically fatherless up until he was like 12 or 13. 12. And then his dad just pops in and is like, hey, I'm your dad. I'm running the wrestling business. And I thought it was interesting that Vince said, like, we never went and like resolved that. Like, our whole lives, we never sat down as a father and son and discussed like where he was at during those formative years. That up to 12 years old, that's a very important part of a boy's development. So you can kind of understand, like, and I'm not justifying all the shady stuff that Vince has done, but I was like, well, it all kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, and I don't want to laugh at it because it seemed, you know, pretty traumatic, him telling it. And I kind of get this vibe from Vince that, like, either he legitimately is like a sociopath, like does not have a feeling for remorse at all. You know, he's got some severe CTE, like, they took too many bumps. I don't know, but just listening to him talk on two episodes, I'm like, or is he senile? Cause he's kind of getting up there in age. But I doubt it. I think he's lived this life and I don't think he has like a hurt or sorrow or remorse emotion.
It's not there. Very cold blooded responses. Everything. Yeah,
very cold. And I also learned that Hulk Hogan's a bigger bitch than I thought. He's constantly tattletelling on people, man. Like, give me a break, Hogan. Jesus.
Thomas, you want to take episode one, and I'll I'm saving my response until after everybody has their.
I already had a bad taste in my mouth right from the start when he basically said he wasn't going to be like telling the truth. He's going to leave some of the stories behind the curtain or whatever he said. So that to me is I mean, if you're going to do it, go 100% in and let it all out. Don't just say what you want to get out there. And I guess later on, some stuff must come out in it because he's already put out a statement kind of poo-pooing on the episode on the documentary. But I thought it was okay. I was really glad to see a few different people talking, like Tony Atlas. You never really see him talking on any of these type of things, and see him on there. I mean, he had me laughing the way he had just the way he is like dressed and everything. It's got me wanting to watch the rest of it. I've only watched the first episode, so it's got me wanting to watch it. But I agree with Brad. I've already had enough of Hogan on there. To me, it's just, to me, he's full of shit. I mean, I don't know.
All right. So here's my take on it. I love pro wrestling. I love it. I do not like sports entertainment. I've made that pretty much cut and dry since I never, ever, ever was a Vince McMahon person ever, even back in the day. I always, there was something about him I just didn't like. This episode for me, I didn't like it. I'm going to tell you why. Everything that they showed, I know about. What I don't know about is the first 12 years of his life. I don't know about how his father met his mother. Did you know that Vince McMahon had an older brother named Ron that passed away a few years ago? They didn't even touch on that. They didn't talk about anything with the town that he grew up in North Carolina. They didn't talk to anybody that remembers him, how he was as a kid. So all that is kind of left out. So I'm disappointed with that. The connection with how he got reunited with his father at 12 years old, they didn't say that either. They left that out. Now, this is stuff, as somebody that loves the history of wrestling, that I want to know. Because all the stories and that have been written about him, it's all what they talked about so far. So he meets the father, gets into the business. The only thing he says is that he gave him the outpost in Bangor, Maine. He left out the Cape Cod Coliseum, which was the hub of WWF, the office. They used to send all the trainees there to get broken in. Vince had a minor league hockey team that played out of there. They never talked about that. They never mentioned the Cape Cod Coliseum at all. They never asked him about it. So they left this big chunk of his development as a promoter out of it, how he promoted concerts there. There's so many concerts that went there through the mid to late 70s, and it closed the year that he bought the business from his father. I will give Linda McMahon a lot of credit for two things. One, she mentioned something that nobody ever talked about, how Gorilla Monsoon was the heir apparent to take over the business that nobody ever knew about. So I'm sure Gorilla was really hurt that that happened, because he was ingrained in that business since the mid-60s. And I can't believe how good Linda McMahon looks compared to how she looked 20 years ago when they were beating her up on TV. She looks better now than she did 20 years ago. So that's the other thing I'll give her credit for. So for somebody that's in their mid-70s, she looks pretty good. Another thing they left out was before he took over the commentary in 76, did you know in 1974, the Snake River Canyon junk with Evel Knievel, he promoted that. Vince McMahon promoted really? That, and they left that out. The Ali fight that was on closed circuit TV against Antonio Inoki, he promoted that too. So they left those two things out, especially the Evel Knievel thing. They left out these massive chunks. We all know about WrestleMania 1, how they rolled the dice on all that stuff. The documentary is not a WWF documentary. It's a Vince McMahon documentary. Right, right. These are important things that build how he got to be ruthless or how he's geared and all this stuff. So they left out some key stuff. I don't want to hear how many times they've put DVDs out about how big WrestleMania was. We know that. And they're going to jump right into the steroid thing, the next thing. Where's all the growth in putting out the territories out of business and how there's all these ruthless stories about him showing up at different venues and trying to pull these guys, you know, from territories? Where's all
they did mention that, but not much. They did mention a little bit about that part.
Right. I mean, the only guy so far on this first episode that's creditable with what they're talking about is Tony Atlas. I mean, he's told the Bruiser Brody story legit. I mean, yep. He's like, if you want the real story, you're going to talk to him. And everybody that Vince has screwed over, as far as promoters and things like that, they've all died. So the only one that's kind of has a touch on the territory thing is Eric Bischoff. And is he credible with his stories? So I don't know. I'm hoping that, you know, I want to know about him. I don't want to know about the WWF. We all know about the WWF story. So I will say they did pull up some really good footage. Like there's a quick montage of Vince, like like really quick through the years, like all of his, you know, changes, and you see the different sports coach changing throughout the whole thing. But even the thing with, they don't talk about how his father got involved with the WWE and how he started his empire. So they left, for me, they left a lot out. So I'm going to say that that first episode was kind of lacking for me. But the best, oh, sorry, Tom, go ahead.
No, the one thing that they've already called him out on is he said that he came up with the WrestleMania name, and everybody behind the scenes, and like it's widely known, and several people have, former wrestlers have talked about it. It's Howard Finkel was supposedly the one that came up with the WrestleMania name, and McMahon's taking credit for it.
The one thing that they finally, after all these years, admitted to, and even Vince said it, the Dusty thing, Dusty was his first pick. All these years, I had heard it was him. And when Dusty said, I want to do more, I just don't want to be the main guy. I've already been the main guy at places I've been. I want to write and produce and create and whatever. And WrestleMania was not the very first big event. The very first big event was Starrcade. So don't let the WWF lore tell you any different. Starrcade was the original, and there was two before there was WrestleMania 1. There was 83 and 84. So, you know, a lot of that stuff is tweaked, and as the years go on, people forget a lot of that stuff. So I'm a little bit hurt as a wrestling historian that they left out a lot of key stuff about Vince and how he grew up and how he met his father and everything. And I agree with a lot of guys on the panel that the relationship with the father was odd. You mean to tell me that you never pulled your father inside and said, hey, listen, I want to know why this, that, and the other thing? Or does he know and he just doesn't want to say it? Is he hiding that, you know, from the story? Or is there a lot of stuff that he knows that he can't tell because it's either incriminating, or his father paid off the mother, or she was a prostitute? Who knows? There could be a lot of things. So, episode one was a little lacking for me, but we'll hopefully with the next six episodes, we'll tie it all in over the weeks. And so, quick wrestling news. Me and Brad are going to touch on this one. I was a little bit disappointed in the Bron Breakker thing with him losing the belt so fast, because they built him up and then they took it away. I don't know, Brad, I'm a little disappointed. We're going to go back and forth on this. I mean, they eat shit. I mean, that's for the kids.
That's for the kids. All about merchandise sales, baby.
Yeah.
It ain't for the kids, man. When Jey Uso walks out, that arena is bumping. It is electric. And here's the thing. Jey Uso has been in the biz for like 15 years. He is due. He should have had a singles title years ago, months ago. They've had plenty of opportunity to crown him Intercontinental Champion. Plenty of opportunity. I agree with you. I don't like what they did with Bron Breakker. They introduced Bron. They called him up from NXT, and they had him in all these squash matches where he was just, he would walk in the ring, spear the guy, pin him. It would take 10 seconds, cue the music, he'd walk out. And I'm like, what are they doing with this guy? It had a lot of Bill Goldberg vibes, because that's how they did Goldberg, right? So I'm like, I'm going to be patient, because I'm a huge Bron Breakker fan, but I'm a huge Jey Uso fan. I love both these characters on wrestling. So I'm like, what if we just wait it out? We'll see what happens. And we had this talk. He lost to Sami Zayn, of all people, clean on a pay-per-view. And I was like, that was stupid. He should have annihilated him. You don't build somebody up to that level, and then on a pay-per-view, I don't give a shit if you're in front of Sami Zayn's family and his daughter's in the crowd crying. Bron Breakker should have broke him in half. It should have been like Bane dropping Batman on his knee and breaking his back. Should have been, Sami Zayn's exit from the show for 6 months. Go take a break, bro, and hit the gym for a little while, hit the weight room. And then you could have pushed Bron Breakker kind of how they did Goldberg, minus all the miscues and the botches, right? So it doesn't make sense the way they did it. And then they let Braun win it at a pay-per-view, and you had the Steiner brothers watching, and there's this iconic cut when he was celebrating, and they were Rick and both brothers were like, and Scott were like hugging and like cheering and stuff. And it's like, man, that was awesome. You got to see that. They're back together for, even for a moment. And I was like, this Braun guy is about to go somewhere. And then he loses it 50 days later on SmackDown. I don't get it. I think Triple H is probably getting pushed one way from The Rock and from all these other TKO executives. And I think he's trying to juggle the talent the best that he can. I didn't like the way they did Damian Priest as a transitional champ either. But I think Bron Breakker has a fantastic career ahead of him. There is no way to botch his booking because he is an absolute stud. And I just can't wait till Bron Breakker has a feud with Jacob Fatu. That is going to, if they don't do that, they're missing out. Make that work. SmackDown star versus Monday Night Raw. Maybe when it goes to Netflix, we can get some bleed over. That has to happen. Two of the biggest stars in the business. That has to happen. But
guys that don't yeah. sell.
don't, What's don't that?
Sell. Is that two guys that don't sell any moves for anyone?
Hey, but when Fatu does it, it is like, whew, it's electrifying. Like it is so exciting, man. So, anyway, man, yeah, I agree with you, Andy, but I disagree with you because I'm glad Jey Uso wants something. We'll see how long he keeps it. I think that should have been reserved maybe for Bad Blood. I think he should have won that. I don't like that they did it on SmackDown. It was surprising. But, man, that would have been a really cool moment, something to add to Bad Blood. But I guess with the PLEs, you know, kind of getting trimmed down, they got to shove a match in on primetime TV somewhere. So,
my thoughts on Jacob Fatu. I'm going to tell you, I mentioned him before he even got signed. I said, this guy's legit if you guys ever see him. Mm-hmm. Then they sign him. What I can see happening with him is – for you young fans out there, they brought Jimmy Snuka in out of nowhere in around 81 as a heel with Albano. Big, pro, bad guy, mean, didn't give promos, nothing. Albano did the talking for him. He fought Backlund. The fans turned that guy face. And that was the time where the fans didn't dictate any of that stuff. The way they turned him face was fantastic. And I could see, if you go back and steal a page or two for the people that have never seen it, you want to go in that route with Jacob Fatu when you finally turn him face? It is unbelievable. When he flipped out on Albano on TV, the fans went crazy. And then they did an injury angle with him where they put him in a hospital. And then the Samoans beat him up while he was in his hospital bed. It's unbelievable. I mean, for that time, and then he was like with Morocco that whole year that him and Morocco feuded, and they every match in the book, the Aegean strap matches, all the big blow up to the cage, and you thought he was going to win the IC belt. And all this time that he was on that ascension was the time that the alleged murder happened. Mm-hmm. So. Did they skim right over the thing with Vince with that? They did.
They skimmed over it.
Yeah, they right over it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like I said, it's not a WWF documentary, and I hate to go back to it. Already past that. It's a Vince documentary. So, whatever. So, Jacob Fatu, definitely eyes on the prize with him. Look at that. Look at this.
Homemade yeet glasses, baby.
You cannot co-sign off on the
now. Put your hat backwards. I want to see if you're Gator.
Not even close. Not even close.
I put this WD-40 on everything.
But you know, I did hear there is a rumor out there though that when they pulled that bullcrap with the Bloodline when Fatu won the tag champ. Remember, it was like an automatic. He's also a tag champion. And then Triple H made him drop it, and then they made the Tonga brothers. There's some heat that like Fatu and Triple H got into it backstage. So people keep saying it didn't happen, but then every time someone denies it, it just shows up 10 more times in my feed that it did happen. So,
but if you look at it, if it's good booking, he'll take that, and when he turns face, he'll say that that's the reason why. Part of the reason why he turned was because of that. You know, they never had his best interest in and all that other stuff. So, yeah, definitely. That I guess that's how we can wrestling. So
hold on, got one more thing.
Wait, acknowledge the professor.
No, just an update. You were talking last week about the Lucha Brothers being signed with WWE. They have not signed with WWE. Actually, Tony Khan is playing hardball, and he's added time. I guess there's something in almost all the wrestlers' contracts now where if they've been injured during their time, at the end of the contract, the promotion can add time to their contract, and he's done that with both of them. Now, Ray Phoenix he's going to be on almost another year now, they were saying. It's going to be close to a year. The other guy, it's only a matter of a month or two, but it'll be interesting to see if he waits around for his partner to or if he goes right over there.
I think if they were smart, they would bring him in, bring Penta in, and build him up. And then when he needs a partner, that's when you run a storyline with Penta as a single against one of those LWO groups or whatever, and you know, or Andrade, where he knows them. And then you know, when he needs to bring in somebody for help around SummerSlam or next year, you bring in Ray Phoenix to, you know, and then boom, they're gone. They're off and running. So that's it for wrestling this week. Anybody got anything that Shaggy? I know you're dying to talk.
Well, I was saying, I'm going back to the old school shit. Yep. I don't think you guys are talking about right now. But what first match I remember watching and loving was Jimmy Superfly and Don Morocco, the cage match in Madison Square Garden. That was like my first time I became a wrestling fan watching that match. So you young guys out there, look that up on YouTube or something.
Yeah, definitely. as far as old school cage matches go, that was what I always told Ed that wrestling needs is a big blow off like that. And they didn't put the belt on Snuka, but the Superfly leap went to a whole nother level. That if you slow that down, there's a bunch of 8x10s of Snuka on top of the cage when he's going to jump on Morocco. The flash bulbs that are going off from people's cameras back then, it's unbelievable. And that was the old school mesh chain link fence. That, yep. Can you imagine Snuka standing on that in bare feet? It's just crazy.
Yeah.
Just a different time, different set of characters. That, I mean, going back to the Vince documentary, he cracks me up because he tiptoes across the old, you know, those guys were heels back then and the crowd was different. You got to have some kind of hate to get over as a villain, whether it's Sheik and Volkov, whether it's All Rise for the National Anthem, the Soviet National Anthem.
Yeah.
It was a different thing. It was a
totally
different. People will never get that kind of heat where these guys wanted to, you know, get stabbed or sliced or whatever.
I heard Roddy Piper wear the leather jacket because some old lady tried to stab him at the one of the wrestling matches.
Yep. I mean, it's crazy. It'll never be like that ever again because it's too far gone. But Triple H talks about the wrestling psychology from a fan perspective. It's like, you know, when you watch Star Wars, that it's phony. Yeah, right. It's but you love it so much that you just fall in love with the story. So that's what wrestling is. You just love it so much. You're looking for a good story that not every storyline you like, but hopefully there's one like that hooks you in, and you can be like, "Hey, I kind of like this dude. He reminds me of an older wrestler that I liked." Yeah. So. Wrestling 101 with the 1973 podcast for the week. So, Thomas, it's your time. It's your segment.
Okay. Tom's Shitty Picks is brought to you by Brock Street Brewing Company, located at 244 Brock Street South in Whitby, Ontario. Everything they brew is in-house, including their hard iced teas, their beers, vodka sodas, and their hard seltzers. So if you're in the Whitby area, go check them out and tell them the 1973 podcast sent you. Now, I finally nailed one of these college picks, I think, because I took Bama against Georgia. Right now, it's 30-7 at halftime. Bama's winning, so I think I nailed that one. But I was looking ahead at the college games, and nothing really interested me next week. There's only a couple of games that have ranked teams playing one another, and I think the actual the favorites will win those games. So I'm going to go back to just picking a player in the pros next week. I'm going to go for... We're going ahead, so I'm going to actually pick a guy for this week in the NFL. I'm going with Kyler Murray. If you need a quarterback and you're hard up, He's got 5 touchdowns on the year throwing. He's playing the Washington Commanders. Their defense is absolutely horrible. They're 31st in the league up against the pass. They're giving up 255 yards a game in the air, and they're giving up 29 points a game. I think Kyler Murray and Marvin Harrison Jr. are going to light them up all day, and I think Kyler Murray could get at least 2 touchdowns running. I mean, 2 throwing and 1 running. I think he's going to have a big game.
Tom, before we jump into the football picks, let's touch really quick on what we were talking about before we went online with the podcast. Really quick, couple big injuries already in our National Hockey League. Drew Doughty, yes. Patrick Laine, big signing, Patrick Laine, already busted up knee.
Yeah, it was a nasty hit, and it was by a career NHL guy with the Maple Leafs, and he took a beating after the hit. The guy, I can't even pronounce his last name, Zerbe or whatever the heck his name is, he beat the living hell out of the guy after it happened. But it looked bad, and he had to get helped off the ice. He had a guy on either side of him taking him off. Drew Doughty's going to be out a few months. They got him listed as month-to-month with a broken ankle. He's supposed to be going in for surgery within the week. And John Gibson, the goalie for the Anaheim Ducks, had to have an emergency appendectomy, and he's out 3 to 6 weeks.
There you have it. It's a little quick. Oh, go ahead. Got one more.
Just a little rumor I've heard about Jeremy Swayman. And I don't know if it's how true it is, but there's a rumor that he has an offer from a KHL team. And now I'm not saying he's going to take it, because, and even if he does, if he signs with the NHL, they usually let him come right back and play. But it's just something to keep in the back of your mind, because they're not as close to a contract as people think, from what I've heard.
So it's KHL, pretty big too, usually.
Thomas, real quick, your thoughts, your personal thoughts on the Swayman situation. I want to hear it.
Well, you know I can't stand Don Sweeney, but it's they played their hand when they dealt Omark, and now they know, Swayman knows that he kind of has him by the balls right now, because they can't go into a season with Corposalo and Bussey. They're not going to, I mean, they've got too many veterans. They don't have enough time in these guys' contracts and their playing careers to play with these guys that aren't proven. And Corposalo has proven over the years he's not a starter in the NHL. So I think Sweeney at some point is going to have to blink. And Swayman says he's doing this for goalies in the future, saying that he doesn't think the goalies have been paid fairly throughout the past. So it could get, I mean, it seems like he's taking a hard stance. So it should be interesting.
The thing real quick, before we get into the football, the thing that I like about what he said was he knows that the cap's always going to go up. So his deal right now that he wants might seem expensive, but 3 years from now, it'll seem like a good deal. So, you know, metaphorically or whatever. So allegedly, that's what he's looking at. So,
I mean, let's say goalies didn't get paid. What about the Mike DiPietro contract that was like a Bobby Bonilla one forever?
Oh, yeah.
It looked pretty good. Yeah.
Yep. The Rick DiPietro.
Oh, Rick, I believe that was.
Yep. That's all right. That's all right. So, Thomas, take it away with the foosball.
All right. Well, who's let's go the over the standings so far after 3 weeks. Go ahead. Oh, you're just saying you're number one. Which
acknowledge me.
So far you are. Right now, Andy's in first place. He's 30-18. Brad is 29-19. The Phantom and Ed are 28-20. Dennis is 27-21. I'm 25-23, and Shaggy's 19-13.
Yeah, but, boy.
Nobody really had a great week last week. I think the best anyone did, a bunch of us went 8-8. I think somebody went 7-9. So everybody was kind of right. It was one of those weeks that there were a few upsets. So
a week of the bookies, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we're going into week 5 now. So game 1, Thursday night, the Atlanta Falcons are playing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in Atlanta. Who you got, Andy?
I'm going Falcons.
All righty. How about you, Shaggy?
I'm going to go Falcons too.
All righty. Brad?
Thursday night games suck. Got to go with the Falcons.
Yep. just to be different, I'm going with Tampa Bay. Got to go with Baker. I'm a Baker Mayfield, Oklahoma fan, so I'll go with Tampa Bay. I got to catch up to you guys, so I'll go with Tampa Bay. Next game should be a really good game. Minnesota Vikings at home against the New York Jets. Andy.
Vikings? Question mark.
All righty. Shaggy.
I'll go Jets, try to catch up.
All righty. Brad.
At this point, until the Vikings prove otherwise, they're 3-0. I'm going to go with the Vikes.
All right. I'm going with Minnesota as well. I think they're getting their number two receiver, Addison, back this week. So that'll add another weapon. And they're doing all this without their starting tight end, Hawkinson, and he's coming back in a couple weeks. So, all right. Game three. Chicago Bears at home against the Carolina Panthers and Andy Dalton. Andy.
I don't know. Darren's team, the Bears? Question mark.
All righty. Shaggy.
I'm going with the redheaded stranger. Go Carolina.
All righty. Brad.
Nah, Panthers going to do Panthers things. I'm going to go with the Bears.
All righty. I am going with Chicago as well. I think you can't say teams have film on Andy Dalton because he's played for like 20 years, but I can't see him having another game like he had this past week.
Darren Dalton?
No, Andy Dalton.
Okay.
All right. Next game, another one, should be decent. Cincinnati Bengals at home against the Baltimore Ravens. Andy.
I'm going to go Bengals on that one.
All righty. Shaggy.
I'm going Baltimore. They got to at least finish a game.
All righty. Brad.
Bengals are 0-3, and the Ravens have one win against the Cowboys. that's a hard pick, but I kind of feel like the Bengals they're in a rough spot right now, man. I'm going to pick Baltimore on that one.
Yeah, I'm going with Baltimore as well. Like, they've got
I'm going to change my pick. Give me Baltimore.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Let me get the eraser out. Gee. All right, the next game, going to be a lousy game to watch. New England Patriots at home against the Miami Dolphins. Andy.
I haven't picked the Patriots, I don't think, this year, so let me pick them.
All righty. Shaggy.
I hate Miami, so here you go, Patriots.
All righty. Brad?
Yeah, Pat's on that one.
All righty. I'm going to go with Miami. They're changing quarterbacks this week. They're going with Huntley, the guy that used to be with the Ravens. One of these weeks, Mostert has to come back. They're running back. So I'm going to go.
They don't have a quarterback. Both our running backs are injured. Come on.
Look at the Patriots. Come on, guy. They're hurting. I'm a New England fan.
Come on, guy.
Come on, guy.
Come on, Gator.
Stop.
All right.
Next WD-40 on that bitch and let's go.
Next game, the Washington Commanders at home against the Cleveland Browns. Andy.
Give me the Brown kids again. I always pick them every week.
All righty. Shaggy?
I'll go to Washington.
All righty. Brad?
You're going Commando.
Yeah, the Commanders are playing unreal football right now. I feel weird even saying that.
Maybe the NFC East isn't as bad as people thought it was going to be. I mean,
it's bad, but the Commanders are surprisingly playing well. Yeah.
I'm going with Washington in that game. Cleveland's got a lot of injuries right now. Going into this week, they've got like three of their starting offensive linemen out. And so I don't know if they'll be backing up, but I'll go with Washington. Next game, the Jacksonville Jaguars at home against the Indianapolis Colts. Andy.
Have the Jaguars won a game yet?
Nope.
Okay, this is the week. I'm going with them.
All right. Shaggy.
Oh, I got to go to the Colts. The Jaguars just piss me off every week.
All righty. Brad.
The Jaguars suck, but if they're going to win a game, it's going to be at home against the Colts.
I am going with Jacksonville purely out of spite because I've got Anthony Richardson as my quarterback. In
he sucked last week.
All season. So I'm going with Jacksonville. Maybe I'm going to go with some reverse psychology and Richardson will run for like three touchdowns for me or something.
Please.
Next game could be another game of the week. The Houston Texans at home against the Buffalo Bills. It's the Stephon Diggs game, the revenge game.
Ooh. Andy.
You're talking about everybody that you've mentioned since we started talking football, other than Darren Dalton, I have no idea who these people are. So the first knee-jerk pick I got has been how I've been picking this whole time. I'm going Texas.
All righty. Shaggy.
Now you know I feel this new wrestling shit. I'll go Texans too.
All right.
They're both picks, so.
Brad?
I really like Houston. They do have some injuries, and the Bills, again, are on playing phenomenal football. I'm going to go with Buffalo. It's going to be my wild card pick because it's a home game for Houston. You would expect them to show out, but I think Buffalo is going to win that game.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Buffalo. Houston's running back Mixon, I think, still going to be out the next couple of weeks. And without a running game, I think they can load up on Stroud and the play back a little bit. Next game, Denver Broncos at home against the Las Vegas Raiders. Andy.
Homer Simpson's favorite team, the Denver Broncos.
Wow, picking against your team. Shaggy.
I'll say I'm going with the Broncos. I feel there's like turmoil in Vegas land.
Yep. Brad?
Both these teams suck. Quit playing. But I'm going to go with Denver.
I am as well. It's almost, from what the rumors I've heard, they're trying to trade Davante Adams now.
Yeah.
He's kind of been dogging it the last couple of weeks on the field. And Pierce, that's what Pierce was talking about in his press conference this past week when he said guys were going into business for themselves.
Him and Jack Jones.
Yep. Yeah, another Patriot guy. All right. Next game, the San Francisco 49ers at home against the Arizona Cardinals. Andy.
Every member of the Village People, their favorite team, the 49ers.
All righty. Shaggy.
I believe I picked them to go to the Super Bowl, if I remember right, so I'll pick the Niners. I might not have either. I don't remember.
I have it written here somewhere. Brad.
I'm going to get... You kind of mentioned Kyler Murray having a good game in this one, right?
I actually have him for this week right here.
This week.
Commanders.
That's a hard one. I'll go with San Francisco.
Yeah. All righty. I'm going to go with the 49ers as well. I think Debo is coming back this week and Kittle, so Purdy will have a few more weapons to use. Next game, the Los Angeles Rams at home against the Green Bay Packers. Andy.
The team I picked to go to the Super Bowl, the Green Bay Packers.
All righty. Shaggy.
Is Love back now?
He's playing tomorrow.
All right. I will pick the Packers this time.
All righty. Brad?
Yeah, it's hard to say if Love's going to be back 100%, how well he's going to do, but I like Green Bay a lot with Jordan Love, so I'm going to pick Green Bay.
Yeah, I'm going with Green Bay as well. The Rams, as much as I like Stafford, they've got so many injuries right now on offense that I can't see them keeping up with Green Bay. Next game, Seattle Seahawks at home against the New York Giants. Andy.
I'm going to go Seattle, I guess.
All righty. Shaggy?
You said no, so nonchalantly, like the Giants are not shitty.
Couldn't tell you.
All righty. Brad?
Yeah, Seattle.
Righty, clean sweep for the guys, for all of us. I'm going with Seattle. Let me spit it out.
The people who are attending.
Yes. All right, next game. Pittsburgh Steelers at home against Brad's Dallas Cowboys. Andy.
You know, I say it all the time. I'm here to make friends. I want Gator to like me. So I'm going to take the Cowboys.
All righty. Shaggy.
I'm going with Steelers just because I don't want to vote for the Cowboys.
All righty. Brad?
My heart wants to say Dallas. Looking at the game, the Steelers are 3-0. Looking at stats, performance, my brain wants to say Pittsburgh. But y'all know I can't vote against my boys. I'm going to have to yeet it up in here, fellas. Give me the Cowboys on that one.
All righty.
Give me them Cowboys.
I'm going to go with Pittsburgh because of their defense. I think they're going to frustrate CeeDee Lamb, probably double him, take him out of the game. And I think it'll be a low-scoring game, like 2017, 17-14 type of thing. But
CeeDee Lamb needs some yeet glasses. Then he'll play better.
Yes.
That's what it is.
Game, because there's actually this week five starts the bye, so there's not as many games. I think there's only 14 this week five. But final game Monday night, the Kansas City Chiefs at home against the New Orleans Saints. Andy.
Well, I guess because they're popular, I'll take the Chiefs. That's the first team that popped in my head.
All righty, Shaggy.
Are they suiting up the referees this game? I'm going to take the Saints. They're due to beat these Chiefs.
All righty. Brad?
I think Saints are a little overhyped. I'm going to go with the Kansas City referees.
Yes. All righty. I'm going to go with the Chiefs as well. I think what's his name, giving them a couple weeks, I think having Kelce, I think Kelce the next few weeks, because he hasn't done shit, I think they're going to really aim to throw him the ball, like almost force the ball to him. So I think him and Rajee Rice will have the big game in that.
They have Xavier Worthy, too.
I know. They haven't really done much with him since game one.
An absolute stud. So he's going to have another breakout game. Yeah. I don't know if it'll be against New Orleans, but it's going to happen.
Yeah. Would they do better if they had Xavier Woods?
They do better with WD-40.
Xavier Woods? Yes. Let the new day roll out into a football game.
Throw in some pancakes.
All right, some AC. That was the last game of the week.
So it's time to segue away from the sports talk and go deep, deep, deep into what is known as the tinfoil hat. This week's email was based around the tinfoil hat. So, Thomas, bring us into the twilight zone of the tinfoil hat.
All righty. Brad's tinfoil hat conspiracy of the week is brought to you by the book Loving Elliot, a fitting tribute to undying love, written by our very own Andy Clark.
That's
it's available on Amazon.com. Elliot was the oldest special needs Jack Russell Terry when he passed away at the age of 21.
True stories, not a conspiracy. Bradford, take it away.
First of all, I'm renaming the segment to the Yeet Foil Hat. So my thing is picking up steam. It's all over TikTok. It's all over the YouTubes. It's all over Instagram. This guy took a picture of a T-Rex skeleton, and he laid it next to a picture of an ostrich. And guess what? The skeletons are exactly the same. T-Rex got a chompy mouth. The ostrich has a beak. Don't look at that part. I'm talking from the head down. They look the same. All right? Can't see anything out of my yeet because of the letters. But look, the T-Rex, we've always questioned why he has those little bitty tiny arms. It doesn't make any sense. But if you look at an ostrich skeleton, you see those same little tiny arms that hold up the wings. Granted, ostrich don't fly. It doesn't have the breastplate and all this other crap that real flying birds have. But the T-Rex does have a very muscular chest, breast area, breasticular area. All right. So the T-Rex with them little tiny arms maybe had some big wings. Maybe we saw a little bit of dragon action back then. So there's a lot of steam building, a lot of people asking questions. Maybe the T-Rex wasn't just the T-Rex, this massive, you know, thunder lizard with tiny little arms. It made no sense, but those were wings. It was a flying animal. That's where we got dragons from. Go look at every ancient culture across time. They're in the Bible. They're in medieval times, in literature. They're in paintings. They're in stories. They're in poems and songs. The Chinese had them in their culture, the ancient Chinese. Dragons, fellas. Somebody say something, because I'm going to keep talking. Dragons were a thing.
Shaggy,
they were there. They were there. Wait.
Come on, Shaggy. You got something for us right now.
I've heard the same thing, that T-Rex, you know, T-Rexes and chickens are basically, you know, the descendants, chickens are descendants of T-Rexes. So, I agree. I mean, I'm with the whole dragon thing, but yeah, definitely chickens and ostriches and T-Rexes, I think, are in the same family.
You can't say a T-Rex is a chicken and then disagree that a T-Rex was a dragon.
I didn't say it wasn't dragon.
You have to agree with me 100%. Those are the rules.
Any tinfoil hat segment that has breastplates mentioned or anything like that, I'm in.
I feel like I want to give it.
Thomas? You are the voice of reason.
I agree with Brad on this one.
Wow.
Should I say Gator? I'm not 100% behind him until he admits that he's Gator. Then I know, then I can truly, truly trust him. But
I'm like 10 for 10 winning the professor over. I'm like 10 for 10, or however many I've done. Undefeated.
So, you know why? Because Tom had the initial tinfoil hat. He would put it on for the segment. And then after, I'm not sure which one it was, maybe the third one in, all of a sudden it disappeared.
Almost I had to use it to cook with, so I don't have any more tin foil.
Use some Jiffy Pop. Turn that thing around.
I almost had to make it out of parchment paper, you know? I mean,
that in itself is a conspiracy. So, Brad, you got anything to add? No PowerPoint? No nothing this week?
No. Y'all can go Google a picture of a T-Rex and a picture of an ostrich. The Smithsonian can kiss my ass. Cannot tell me T-Rex had little baby arms for no reason. Those were wings. I'm not saying he was breathing fire, going through the sky, burning shit like in Game of Thrones. But a T-Rex probably had wings, probably flew. It's probably where we got dragons from. And I'm ready to die on that. So
don't go to the extremes, Brad. Come on. We gotta get this going. So I just want to ask Brad one question about the tinfoil hat before we wrap up the episode.
This is a Gator question.
What you're saying about this is Steven Spielberg is part of the cover-up with Jurassic Park.
What?
Huh?
Right? Just putting the whole dinosaur thing out there for people to, you know, kind of feast on. Is that what you're saying? You're calling out Steven Spielberg for bullshit.
Well, first of all, Steven Spielberg is a child-loving... I don't want to say the word because I don't want it to hit the algorithm that people
allegedly
can't... Allegedly. So I don't want to say the word, and then next thing you know, we're lost in the YouTube algorithm. But him and Tom Hanks were on, you know, a certain island of you know, let's leave it at that. But that is a very good question, and they could have made this movie... Because when you talk to just a random person on the street where they think about dinosaurs, their reference point is Jurassic Park. Also, the first one was an excellent movie. Everything after that was sucked ass, let's be honest. The book is actually incredible. If you ever get a chance, read the book Jurassic Park. Fucking nuts compared to what the movie didn't even come close. But anyway, that could be it, man. Like, that's how they get people like tripped up, is with predictive programming. Also, there's a lot of talk about clones and cloning in the Jurassic Park movies. And that's kind of like a soft entry for people when you're ready to have that conversation.
So not a soft entry is not like a P. Diddy party, though, right?
It's not a it could be like a Diddy party. It's 1,000 bottles of lube. I mean,
allegedly.
No, that was real.
Well, that wasn't
alleged.
I beg to differ on that. It's not lube, it's GHB.
It was 100, it was 1,000 bottles of baby oil. Some rookie FBI agent had to evidence tag every single bottle.
I feel bad for the guy that bought the dildos.
Yeah.
Also, just like WD-40, we don't want to push any sponsors away. So if you're a baby oil person, we'll put that on too. So
come on over, Adam Eve. Come on over.
Yeah, if this YouTube falls into the lap of a baby oil like Johnson & Johnson executive,
we'll have the head of our R&D department, Ed, take on that. So, fun episode again. We're gonna wrap it up. We almost hit the hour mark, so shout out time. So I'm gonna start with a guy that's becoming a regular on the show. Shaggy, what do you got this week?
I got two this week, if that's okay. My first one's a sad one. One of my coworkers and former student athletes passed away this week, and we're going to miss him and love him. So, Danny, you know, we love you. Hopefully, you're in a good place. Happy one. My second one, Friday. Yesterday was my wife and I's anniversary. So,
First wife or second wife?
My third.
Third. Good man. All right.
Don't tell the first one, though. She still thinks she's here.
Okay. Good man. Good man. I'll applaud that for you. Thomas, what do you got this week? You're playing the part of Ed. You're sitting all the way in the back.
Yeah, that's why, you're the TV. You know, that's why I did this. It's just like, yeah. My shout out this week is to my brother-in-law, Tim. He went up to Canada this weekend. This week, I should say, hunting. And he bagged himself a big-ass moose. So good job, brother.
Bradford, what do you got this week?
Shout out to Ed. Hope you're safe. I hope you're well taken care of. I know you didn't really feel the whole brunt of that storm. Shout out to the entire Southeast right now, because good Lord, there is a lot of shit going on. Even though the hurricane has moved on, flooding, it is catastrophic. So shout out to them. Hopefully I know I have a lot of people from Florida to Georgia. People I still got to check in on. Shout out to anybody that's listening. Like, man, prayers up. That is some serious shit right now. So, and there's more cooking. Like, we're not done.
Did you hurricane say season Southeast?
goes to November 30th. So, we're still riding this shit out.
So I just want to piggyback on that. I spoke to Ed this week. He had some stuff going on as far as that and pre-gaming and getting everything ready. So hopefully this will pass. Ed will come back next week. We can give him some real 1973 podcast crapola. And also somebody else that watches the show, they recently relocated to Florida. And I hope that that's all going well with all this other stuff going on. Hopefully, I'm not going to mention the person's name, but hopefully the person knows who I'm talking about. So stay safe, Floridians, whether you're in the Ed Panhandle. We can put a little tweak on that sometime. I got to work on that one. So
Panhandle Ed. Make a shirt.
The Ed handle. Could take on its own. Ed is like perfect for a lot of go-to catchphrases. I look at Tom already cracking a smile. He knows.
I know nothing.
Like I said before I end this, if I wanted to tell some stories, I could get this podcast over with some fantastic stories, but I don't think it would last that long. So with that being said, we're going to keep it for the kids. Kids show, as always. So kids show. So from us to you, that's 85 episodes. And here's to 85 more with three guys and other guys that I just love spending my weekends with. So later, everybody.
See you.